this last chapter four of Jonah. It's not huge, but there's still plenty in it, and we shall look through it today. But summary of last week: Jonah was called a second time to go to Nineveh after all his tribulation with a big fish. Still unhappy with what God has asked, but goes and still cries out to Nineveh, and the Assyrians repent. And they're repenting, hoping God will not destroy them, their man, their cattle. And they fast again, their man, their cattle. And they cover themselves and the cattle with sackcloth. And they repent from their violence and evil ways. Some 120,000 at least turn and follow God and repent. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for these words. I pray, Lord, that you'll just open our ears and our hearts, Lord, for what we have in front of us here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that it just registers on us, Lord, that we can take it away with us, Lord, and see how Jonah is, see how you are, and just add it to our lives, Father, that we can just learn from it and walk more like you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh God, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Oh, it seems such a strange thing to say, isn't it? You've gone to speak to thousands of people, and they're all coming and turning to the Lord and repenting, and he wants to die. It's shocking. You can't picture it. You can't see it. You can't get to grips with how angry that Jonah is, how angry and how he hates these people so much that he doesn't want that to happen. And I kind of feel talking to God, he's saying exactly what's on his heart. So he prayed. He said, "Oh Lord, was this not what I said?" You know, he's like sort of saying to God, "Wasn't this what I said, Lord? You're going to forgive them. I go and talk to them. You're going to forgive them. And then they're all going to come to the Lord and you're going to save them." Now God has his request complete via Jonah. But it's now Jonah God starts to work on. Up to this point, Jonah's just been doing what he's told. He's just been doing what God has asked him to do, but his heart wasn't in it. There was no love there. There was no caring for the people he was talking to. He was just literally there to give a message. And this is a message to us. So, you know, we are a lot like Jonah. We can act like Christians. We can try and live like Christians and serve like Christians, but our heart isn't in it. We sometimes do it because we're told to, if the scriptures say, or somebody's asked us. Or no, we should. You know, we should know we should do these things because we love God. But sometimes we do them without any of the love. It's like a job. We go do it, we turn up on Sunday, and then we go home, and then we're back in the world. Verse 35, but love your enemies. Sorry, Luke 6, 35 to 38. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What a fantastic scripture from Luke here. Told to love our enemies, to do good without expecting any reward. Why? Because that's what God's like with us. We are the body and Christ is the head. Casting Crowns said it very well in their song, If We Are the Body. I don't know if you've heard it, but it's a fantastic song. Go and check it out. Why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way. We say to ourselves, I treat people the way I want to be treated. And it's a good saying. This is where we get it from. We get that from Scripture. But it should be, I treat people the way that God treats me. That's how we should look at it. God says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We covered this with the youth the other day. It was one of the nuggets. I showed a jar of pasta and how you can fill up a jar and then you can shake it and bang it about a bit and you think it's full, but actually by the time it's all shaken down, you push down a little bit, there's a bit more room for more pasta. But God goes further than that. He shakes, presses down, and then it overflows. That's how he is to us. What we give, God gives back to us. But pressed down, shaken, so there's more space, more overflowing. If we do these things without love, then we're missing a blessing. We're missing what God has for us. We also won't be representing him right. If we're ambassadors and representing Jesus in the right way, without love, we're not sort of demonstrating what Jesus is like. We don't do these things to get reward, but God does say there's a reward there for being like that. It's a blessing for being like that. Jonah's not really demonstrating this at the moment in the way he's acting. So God's going to try and reach him now. But just carrying on in Luke there, talking about condemn not, judge not. He continues and he says, and he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they both not fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove that speck that's in your eye, when you yourself cannot see the plank that's in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank in your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. This is sort of how Jonah's being. You know, he's not seeing the big picture. He's not seeing the plank that's in his eye. Just remembering what it said in verse 37 a minute ago in Jonah 4. Judge not and it shall, and you shall, sorry, in Luke. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. We struggle here, don't we? We know all have sinned. We all have specks in our own eyes. And these are specks or planks, are spiritual problems. And God is the one who can remove them. But if we haven't dealt with them issues, we haven't brought them to him to help him, you know, help us deal with them, then it makes it impossible for us to see clearly to help somebody else. Jonah's hatred for the Assyrians was a fair hatred. The nation was wicked and evil and they had been troublesome to Israel. But Jonah had sinned too. We can be quite hypocritical, labouring whose sin is worse than our own. We're good at doing that, aren't we? I'd never do that. I would have done this. We're quite good at that. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and he sat on the east side of the city, and there he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Jonah wants to see whether Nineveh gets destroyed or saved. So he builds this little house, little hut, if you like, on the east side, so he can see the whole city, and he's watching it to see what God's going to do, whether there are going to be bolts of lightning come down or whether they're going to be saved. He's sort of sitting there quite comfortable and quite happy. This plant's over his head that God's provided. And he sat there. He obviously doesn't know yet whether Nineveh's going to be destroyed or not. Now, he's been around, done what he's told. You know, he's sitting there waiting to see. Obviously, God hasn't said what's going to happen. So he's just waiting there to happen, waiting to see what happens to these people. The message is delivered, but it seems at this point Jonah is still unsure. So he sat there. The first place in this book that Jonah has been grateful, the shade of this plant has given him. I like to say it's the little things. I like to say that happens, it's the little things that sort of make us happy. But all the things that God has done so far, Jonah hasn't hugely been, you know, very grateful at all. Saving the mariners from the storm, saving him from drowning, even though being a whale, but still saving from drowning. Being with him as he cried out in Nineveh, giving them the words to say. Yet it's this plant that Jonah's happy about. Verse 7, but as morning dawned and the next day, God prepared a worm. And it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then he wished death for himself and said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. He's not a cheerful character, this guy. He sat there waiting for a city to be destroyed. Angry now about a worm that's obviously taken away this plant and from his head, so he's getting hot. And now the weather's cold change, and he's now getting burnt up by this wind, hot wind on his head. It's making him feel faint. So God prepares the worm that kills a plant. You can just imagine it again. They're working at the bottom and base of this plant, just chewing through it, and it dying as quickly as it came. And the wind sort of taking the rest of it out, you know, this hot wind just shriveling, crumbling, drying. You've seen some of the things. And Jonah's not so angry at the plant. He's annoyed that the plant's not giving him shade anymore. He's annoyed, more annoyed with the bug. This bug that's coming at this thing. I can sort of hear him. I hear it myself. Will nothing go right? Even the plant's against me. I can sort of imagine the sort of thing that I'd be if I was sat there. This has happened. And now this has happened. You know, you can sort of see it. But God asks, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah seems to think so, even to death, he says. It's so drastic. This guy is just doesn't want to be there anymore. Doesn't want to. He just like the outcome of what's happening here, and he just doesn't want to be there. He's not happy. But the Lord said, "You've had pity on the plant for which you have not laboured, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" So Jonah had pity on the plant because of the bug that ate through the root. I'm presuming that he says, you know, it grew up in the night, died in the night, so he was asleep when this was all happening. He was asleep when the plant appeared and asleep when the plant had gone. And the plant had nothing to do with Jonah. He didn't plant it. He didn't water it. He didn't make it grow. Like I say, he was asleep when it was all happening. And God compares the plant to the people of Nineveh. You pity the plant, I pity the people. It says, then 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left. Again, God could be referring that these are the children of the city. Or just adults that have no clue, no realization of their actions. They seem to have so far from the law that they just do not know what's right and what's wrong. Not a good place to be. You can say, you can blame them. You can say, well, it's their choice, you know. But they've been brought up, you know, they've been brought up. Whether their parents actually taught them the way they should go, whether they've just followed in the way of the world. And likewise, on again, generation after generation. But still, creations of God. God gave them life. They are not Jonahs. And Jonah here is more sorrowful for a plant than 120,000 people. Jonah's perspective is off. And it's amazing that God uses this demonstration just to reveal that to Jonah. Again, the small things. And likewise, it sort of demonstrates it to us as we're reading it. I love this. You know, it's a true story. These things happen. They're for Jonah's benefit. They're for the people, the benefit of the people on the boat. They're for the benefit of the people in the city. They're a benefit for Jonah. And they're a benefit for us. And it's great to see, you know, what God's like, what his love's like. How wrong Jonah is. And when we look at that now, we think, well, yeah, it makes sense. He's more concerned about a plant than 120,000 people. He might not like them, but that's a huge story. If the seesaw thing is way up that way, you know, that's the way he's acting. So again, it can speak to us. Each of us need to review our own feelings. What angers us, who are our enemies, if we have any? Who have we not forgiven? Where is our love at? There's a lot of anger about. Just turn on the news. Ask your neighbours. Plenty of people out there with anger that will wind us up. Some we might not think deserve to know God because of their wickedness. You know, we look at the thing, look what you've done. How can you possibly be saved? How can you even deserve to be saved? Yet we don't know, but God might have called them back to him. We don't see those things. We don't know. God knows. God knew how these people in Nineveh were going to turn. He needed to send a messenger to him, messenger to them. We need to ask ourselves, what did God do for us? Did we deserve it? Do you think our sin is any less serious than theirs? Sin is sin. It's not the amount or the level of sin that somebody has. It's who we sin against. All sin is against God. And if he is able and willing to save me, who am I to decide who else is deserving? Who is serving? Deserving. Let's get that word right. He's willing to save me. He died on the cross for me. I put him there. Who am I to say who cannot be, who can be saved? 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And in this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. I practiced that earlier as well. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. A famous scripture we've all read before at different services, different places. This isn't all of it, but it's some of it. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but not have love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and although I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely and does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I recommend you read the rest of it. It's an amazing bit of scripture that God's placed for us there. So what do we learn from this? We say, let's love and love well. Love how God loves. A little bit of understanding, maybe in our walk with the people we meet and see. We saw God working all the way through this. Jonah's walk, this in this book that we have. God was there all the time. No, the great winds, the tempest, the lots that fell on Jonah, the great calm in the sea, Jonah in the belly for 3 days and nights coming out alive. The fish that came onto shore to spit Jonah out. Preparation for the plant, preparation for the worm and the wind that came along. God was every step before him and everywhere he went. Just think about that whale. The whale was born, you know, and swam in the sea. It was just his job for that lifespan that he had, was just to be there when Jonah came into the sea. Some 15 miracles in this book. All those things are talked about, all those things that just can't happen normally. God intervened. 15 miracles. Somebody says it's just it's an amazing thing. A guy went into a whale and he lasted, 3 days, came out again. It's a miracle. There was so much more all the way through that God had his hand on. Not to mention speaking to the fish. Did you remember that in the scripture? He spoke to the fish and told him to go and spit Jonah out. It's hard for us to sort of picture, but I could just imagine this, the whale thing, hearing God's voice. Well, okay. And we know he's talked to many animals before. As Jordan mentioned the other day, you talk for a donkey. You can talk through me. What an amazing God we have. It's the same God that we have today. It's the same God. And he's with us through the trials, through the storms of our life. He's caring for us and he loves us. And how blessed that we are. He's amazing. He's one step ahead of us all the time. Like Jonah had to go through this situation, we have to go through situations too. And it's hard. But God's in control. It's a lesson learned. It's spoken to me. I hope I can remember as I'm going along the road and I'm seeing somebody maybe I don't really want to talk to. Old enemy from school. Had a few of those. But, it's something that I'm just hoping we can have compassion in our hearts for the people that we meet. Don't have to like what they've done in the past. Don't have to like what they're doing now. But our hope should be, no matter what they've done, that they turn to the Lord before it's too late. So let's just give thanks and pray. Lord, we're so grateful. You are in control. Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord, you know who we will talk to, who we won't. You know how we're changed from reading your word. You know how we are moved into places where we're uncomfortable. And Lord, that you let us grow through those situations, no matter how painful they are. And Lord, we have so many loved ones, family and friends that we're so desperate for them to be saved. I'd like you to call somebody like Jonah to them and let them tell you what a great God you are. Lord, you called us. We're your body, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll just help us to be good ambassadors for you while we're here. And Lord, although we fail and we'll go the wrong direction, try and escape, Lord, that you will bring us back to you. And Lord, we are so grateful that you're such a merciful God, that you're patient, you're long-suffering with us. And Lord, you know what we're going to be like before we've done it. Lord, we ask that you just put us in places where we can share your gospel, Lord. Or that you will give us those words to say that will cut somebody to the heart that they want to search for you. That will demonstrate with our lifestyle that there is a different way, Lord. And Lord, that you will build your church, whether it's here or somewhere else in Deal, Lord, where you fill them all up, Lord. Lord, that all people will come to you and be saved before it's too late. And Lord, we're just grateful that we don't have to do this on our own, that you are there. It's all your power and your strength. Just the messengers, Lord. Help us to have compassion on people. Help us to love each other here in our families and on the street and at home. Not for prize or payment, Lord, but for love. And Lord, just be with us this week as we go about in your creation, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name.